morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be back on this virtual platform, to be able to connect with all of you. Just thank God for using technology that we can be edified, we can be encouraged. I was listening to someone the other day and they were talking about how the sermons and the Bible teachings and the things that we have connected with EBCNC.com that are impacting people who are moving away, our young people that are in college or people who are overseas. So many people are being blessed, and I just thank God for His grace and mercy, and I thank you for what you're doing by staying connected to EBCNC.com and our Bible studies on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and also praying for our in-person services, our 8:45 and our 10:45, and of course our 10 o'clock online. We're able to reach. Scriptures tell us to go into all the world and basically to give the good news, the gospel, that souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. And the Lord is using all of us. And I really ask you to continue to stay in prayer as we make decisions. Continue to stay in prayer as we deal with this world that is struggling with so much dysfunction. Amen. That's why we're going into the series. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. Just a closer walk with thee. We need a closer walk with the Lord every day. I want to thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. God has used us all in this season. Hadn't he been a wonderful provider? You can just go amen. He's been a wonderful provider. And I just want to thank you for connecting and just giving from your heart. We've taught that for years and years and years because we recognize how good God has been to us. We want to reach out and we want to bless others. Well, I'm ready to get into this word for today. We want our hearts to be prepared to receive. Man, ask that question. Ask God that question for yourself. Lord, how can I get closer to you? We're going to answer that when we come back soon. You be blessed. Well, we just thank the Lord for his mercies, for this baptism. We've had to change up and do things differently, but by using recording, we're still able to share it with the congregation. And we just thank God for a covering that Sister Rhonda, she's been waiting for weeks for this, but we got here to this day, and the Lord is so, so, so good. And so when we start, I just want to pray, and then I'm going to read a scripture, then I'm going to ask Brown to lead us in to take me to the water. Father, I just thank you so much for this time. Special, special family is here, and Lord, we get to witness another one being baptized. We thank you, God, for just who you are. Thank you for your mercies and your kindness. Thank you for just making it possible, Lord, that we can be here this day, even in this crazy pandemic. We pray covering, Lord, that your presence will be here mightily as it was within our service. And thank you for baptism. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to read a portion of scripture from Romans chapter 6, if they can put it up. And it talks about this whole transition of what we're showing for today. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? Then that verse 2 says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Isn't that good? Verse 5, it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Hallelujah. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8 brings out this powerful thought. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him.
Then it says, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. As I stop there, that's what the baptism is all about. When we come in, Sister Rhonda, we're going to bring you in, and it's the semblance of Christ as he was going to the grave, that whole process. We're going to take you under the water. That's the semblance of them putting his body in the grave. But the great thing about it, you don't have to stay 3 days. You don't have to stay 3 days. It's going to be seconds. We're going to take you down, and we're going to bring you back up. And that shows for 3 days later when he got up with all power and glory. So that is the semblance of what Christ is doing and has done on the inside of you. So, Brown, if you lead us in that old spiritual, take me to the water.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water. To be baptized.
On the profession of your faith, my sister, I thank you for this day that God has allowed us to be here. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
I thought you'd like to know, all those nights you paced the floor, praying I would make it home all right, believing God that he would someday save my soul. Well, he did, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know, all those prayers you prayed for me. Everyone once fell to the ground. I know sometimes it looked like I was a million miles from grace. He answered your prayers. And I thought you'd like to know. Mama, I want you to know that I love you. Please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. Every tear you cried for me drew me closer, being free. I want to thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know, I wish I could live my life again. If I could, I would surely make amends. But if I could help my brother a new life to discover, then I will. And I thought you'd like to know. Oh, Father, I want you to know I love you. Please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. Every tear you cried for me drew me closer, being free. I want to thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know.
I am so glad that the Lord said he would never leave us nor forsake us. as we get back into this new theme or topic, just a closer walk with thee, I just want you to know the Lord desires for us to grow closer to him. I was sitting in my office, I believe, some weeks ago, and we were still in the Distraction and Fear series, and it just hit my heart. It just impressed really stronger that God loves us so much, and he desires us to really be in his presence. For many of you, you remember this hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Just want to go through the stanzas to really encompass where God wants us. This is actually an anonymous writer, the hymnologist. Are not exactly sure who wrote this, but it says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, Savior, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. And then that refrain, it just blesses my heart. It says, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Does that bless you? I pray it bless you. Let's go on a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for a closer walk with thee. As we come before you today, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit, your grace and mercy, Lord. I pray for those who are listening and looking, Lord, that they be edified, they be encouraged to grow closer to you. But just in case there are some that are looking that don't know you, Lord, I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved, we would be saved. Thank you for that promise of salvation. Lord, I thank you. It's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift from you. Help us to receive that gift, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into the text today, I'm telling you, this is an interesting portion of scripture because we're going to talk about genealogical records today. And I'm telling you, it's challenging because when you go through the Bible, and some of you have been reading with us through the Bible, and you get to those long lines of such and such beget such and such beget such and such, some of you just kind of skip through those things. But God has allowed his people, his prophets, those to write this word, to put those genealogical lines down so that we could get some understanding. And so today, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we're going to jump into a portion of that in Genesis chapter 5. And I want you to look at that 22nd verse. Genesis chapter 5 and 22. It reads, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Listen to that again, that 22nd verse. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. I want to speak from a title today, Get a Little Closer. Get a Little Closer. I'm going to kind of give my age now because in 1984, there was a jingle that came out, and if you remember that jingle that had Get a Little Closer in it, then we are being aged as a new generation is coming forth. In 1984, it was actually Arid Extra Dry. Remember, Get a Little Closer. Now, don't be shy. Get a Little Closer with Arid Extra Dry. Young people are like, what is he talking about? In our day and time, jingles were big. You know, if you had a company that could get that right jingle, they really could push forth their product. Even Ebenezer, we have a slogan, building the ark one soul at a time, that really connected with us, that we would focus on the individuals and the families in growing what God would have us to be within the church body. So it is, as we look at the scripture today, God desires for us to get a little closer, and we're going to specifically focus on several people within this genealogical record. The time frame is 4000 BC. In Genesis 5, I'm telling you, this can be a very depressing chapter, especially as you're going down and you're looking at the begots. But you also see, one of the theologians says, this is the tombstone lane, because there's so many people that are dying one after another. Eight times in this chapter five, you'll find that sobering phrase, "and he died." Yes. And he died. Oftentimes we don't want to talk about that, but no matter how long you live, please understand, unless the Lord comes back and grabs us up, we are all going to have to face death. Get a little closer. Dr. R. Heimers Jr., in one of his sermons, he pegged this phrase. He says, "Death isn't an appointment, not an accident." I want to say that again. Death isn't an appointment, not an accident. Within this chapter, we see that sin is reigning and death is reigning because of sin. And in the midst of this chapter, we get to focus on this character, Enoch, whom God shows much grace in his life. Building up to that point, let's pick up around Genesis 5:18. It says, "Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch." Now, it's important to note, we started this 18th verse because I think about the impact that our parents have on us, our moms and our dads. And here, Jared, notice he lived 162 years and he begot Enoch. This was not by mistake. Our first point today, your life matters. Yes, your life matters. I'm coming and I'm getting connected with more and more people who don't know their fathers. And there are others, Lord, that haven't really known their mothers because of maybe a mother leaving early within life or passing away, or a father just not being connected with the family, not being connected with his sons and daughters. And Jared here, being the father of Enoch that we're really focusing in on today, he is actually generation six. I put that in quotation. Depends on how you actually add it up. In line from Seth, he is actually, Seth is Adam's son. Remember that. So that whole process. And as you go down that genealogical record, now we pick up Jared, that sixth in line from Seth. He is actually, listen to this, the great-great-grandfather of Noah. Yes, this is going to be very important to denote, the great-great-grandfather of Noah, which makes him, when you follow that line, the ancestor of Christ. Yes, he's in line. And I'm excited about this because when we look at this beginning, this book of beginnings, Genesis, we really find out that God had a plan from the foundations of the earth that we could be saved, delivered, and set free. They ought to be some hallelujahs just to know that we were no accident. We were not by mistake, but God was working it out, even in the people that were being born, even in those that he was training up to carry forth. Yes, even in the Old Testament, the good news. Dr. Luke, being led of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, he really gives us a picture of this person that we're talking about, Jared, and we're going to get to Enoch in Luke 3:37. The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. This lets us know that this is so important because who we're connected with and who God allows us to be connected with really can change life. Who has God commissioned us to lead to the Lord? Our family, our co-workers, even the persons that we come into the grocery store, we are connected, and it is so important. Life that we live, it matters. And so many people are taking that life for granted. I remember this story was passed down to me, and I'm just going to put a whole bunch of greats, but my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, it was told to me, actually made a deal with the Lord, and he promised God, if you answer this specific prayer, that he would actually dedicate his line, his genealogical record, to preachers, to becoming preachers and pastors. And if you look at my legacy, and we're going to deal with that later, if you look at that record, you'll find out there are a lot of Woods that were preachers and pastors, and I believe God can answer prayers in strange ways. Who are we commissioned, as said before, connected with? We must get closer to God simply because generations are depending on us. There ought to be some amens about that. We need people to want to grow closer and pull closer to the very presence of God so that others can be impacted for His glory. Look at Genesis 5:19. Get a little closer. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived, listen to this, 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years. Go ahead and put it in the chat. 962 years and he died. Here's another point. The example. Yes, the example. So we've got Jared, and Jared begots Enos. And then we begin to look at his life, and he lives a tremendous life. Now, Jared in the Hebrew actually comes out to mean to descend. To the sin. Theologians actually struggle. Okay, how do we do that? Some say descend means it's actually talking about coming from Adam. It's descending down that line. But I have some thoughts with that. Maybe why his name Jared is focused to that name of to descend. If you notice, he is the great-great-grandfather of Noah, which we talked about. And we know with Noah comes the flood. We know that evil actually is rising in this time. So I believe that Jared is actually a prophetic figure, that God is actually using him and his name to put forth that sin is becoming so rampant that mankind is descending towards hell, is descending towards destruction. So just in saying Jared's name, now we get some understanding prophetically of the evil times that he's living in. Notice Genesis 5:20 again, so all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. You may be saying in your mind, because when I read it, I was like, man, don't you wish you could live 962 years? But please understand, these were terrible times, just as we're living in also. Imagine the struggles that he went through, simply because it's getting closer and closer to the flood, that men and women are doing what they want to do within their hearts, and sin is becoming so prevalent. Remember, they're descending into more and more sin. But imagine living with so much trouble for all of these years, 962 years of trouble and pain and stress and mean folks and hateful people and people falling out with one another and wars and rumors of wars and disease and struggle. I'm telling you, 962 years, Jared lived there. Please understand, as the world is descending deeper and deeper in sin, Job 14:1 really brings out the life of men and women in this world. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You might want to put in the chat, full of trouble. We understand we have some good days. Yes, we have some blessed days. But please understand, we struggle within this life, especially as we see the prevalence of sin, the morality just being thrown out the window. All of these things are going on. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Yes, we struggle. There's pain within our lives. The Apostle John really sobers us up, because there can be some times in our lives that We lust after this world. We really fall in love with the things of this world. There's so many things that we can acquire. There's so many things that we can like and look at. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." 1 John 2:17, very powerful. Get a little closer. It says, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Our desire should be to get closer to the Lord. As I was flying back into Greensboro, North Carolina, my family, we were on a plane, and I'm kind of sitting up high because I'm tall, have to sit up straight because the seats are closer, and I get to kind of look over people. And as we're flying and we're thousands of feet up in the air, I get to see what people are looking at. There's some people that are looking at the Russian Ukraine. There are others that are looking at movies, but But in all of these, I saw sin. I saw destruction. I saw lewdness on some screens, and I saw murders on some screens, and I saw all of these things coming together, and I realized even more where our nation is, where our world is, with the enemy attacking, coming from the left and right. I'm telling you, saints, we need to get a little closer. Look at Genesis 5:21. This shining light, Enoch, lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Here's another point. The silent years. Yes, the silent years. Theologians actually struggle because as we really look at the life of Enosh, the son of Jared, it says that he lived 65 years, and we're going to find out about his latter life. But the question is, what did he do these 65 years? Was there some kind of massive conversion that actually took place on his 65th year? They're silent. And I want you to know, God can use you in times of silence. God can use you even when you don't understand what's going on in your life. I think this was actually a preparation time for Enoch. Let me show you. Enoch's name actually means trained and vowed, dedicated and profound. Yes, I wanted to tell you again, it means trained and vowed, dedicated and profound. That's what Enoch means. And I believe during this season, this time, God was actually preparing him, training it. Please understand, even in our lives, there must be some silent times. There must be some times that God can speak to us and mold us and shape us. And so many people jump out and start on this race so quick, thinking they can do all of this and that, but they don't finish. First John talks about that. They went out amongst us, but they did not continue with us. And the reason they didn't continue with us, because they were not of us. But when God trains us up, when God gets us strong, even I was listening to the radio, the baseball teams, they were striking, and they were saying that even if we can get the season started back, we still need to have some preparation time. We need at least 6 weeks where we can get ourselves together and get our bodies conditioned back in. And it's the same thing with God. God takes time to train us up. In the New Testament, it actually shows us what God was doing. Yes, Jude, that 14th verse, it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." I want you to peg that. We're going to come back and talk about that. That 15th verse, it said, "To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." I'm talking about get a little closer. Enoch was being prepared again to walk in the provisions of God, to hear God's voice, and to be used to speak the oracles of God. He would be condemning sin in his day, and as the evil was rising, please understand, and they were descending more and deeper into the sin life and the choices that the enemy wanted to make them. But he was prophesying also within this. I love this in that Jude 14, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." He was actually saying Christ was going to come, our deliverer was going to come, a savior was going to come. Aren't you glad that God had a plan years and years before we understood it, years and years before the United States of America or Russia was created? God had a plan of salvation, and I want you to know we're getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus. We need to get a little closer. Look at Genesis 5:22. "After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters." Listen to that again. "After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Would you put it in your chat, and you're sitting in your living room and say 300 years, 300 years, 23. "So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, 365 years. Here's another point. Walking with the Lord. Yes. Walking with the Lord. Now we explain our thought pattern on those 65 years, those silent years, but it says 300 years. He actually walks with the Lord. That Genesis 5:22 again, Enoch walked with God 300 years. years. This is amazing to me because some of us struggle to walk with God one day, 1 hour, 5 minutes. We struggle with our mind. We struggle with temptations. But to think that Enoch, he is an example of walking with the Lord 300 years. The prophet Amos, he writes this in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they agreed? What this is saying is that Enoch was walking with the Lord, agreed with his commandments and his thoughts, and he was an example in an evil and messed up generation. Theologian and scholar W. McDonald, he writes this, listen to this, the word walk implies a steady, progressive relationship and not just a casual acquaintance. There's some of us, some people that just want to have a casual acquaintance with God, but God wants a steady relationship. To walk with God is the business of a lifetime and not just the performance of an hour. Yes, we all can be convicted about this simply because some of us have just made a performance on Sunday. Some of us have just made a performance when people are looking at us, but God is saying, I want you with me. I want you to show love to me. I want you to learn worship and praise, not just when there's a choir or there's a soloist that's singing, not just when the preacher's looking or even the pastor's preaching to us, but even in the midst of our alone times where we can get into the presence of the Lord, we can think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done. I'm talking about get a little closer, and there should be something that moves like a wheel in the wheel. There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. Pastor Matthew Henry wrote in 1704 about walking with God. Listen to this. To walk with God is to set God always before us and to act at those that are always under his eyes. Yes, we act and we understand and know we're always under his eye. It is to live a life of communion with God, both in the ordinance and providences. It is to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all our actions. It is to make it our constant care and endeavor in everything, listen to this, to please God and nothing to offend him. It is to comply with his will, to concur with his designs, and to be workers together with him. It is to be followers of him as dear children. Get a little closer. Yes, God is calling us and desiring us to walk with him, that really our ways come to the point of being conformed to his ways. Our thoughts become connected, his thoughts. And even when our flesh rises up, we can speak via the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our spirit, that we don't have to go that way, but we can take the way of Jesus the Christ and love on him, and we can crucify the flesh. I'm talking about get a little closer, but notice this, Genesis 5:24. I'm telling you, this is a magnanimous scripture. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can I read that again? Because I love this scripture. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's another point. Well done. Yes, well done. Enoch desired to get a little closer with the Lord, to walk with him. 300 years of being in an interaction with God. And please, this devotion is amazing to me. In that 24th verse again, it said he walked with God and he was not, because God took him. And we want more detail. We want more understanding of this. But those who are understanding God more and praying more, that's what it is. It's a simple connection, but yet a profound connection. And they're walking together. But please, we get some insight, yes, from the New Testament again about Enoch's life. What was happening? How could he get to this point of 300 years walking in the Lord? Well, we've got to go to the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, where we see people that are called out that had faith in God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:5 said, by faith, Enoch, yes, there he is, E-N-O-C-H, was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Somebody need to say testimony. You can put it in the chat, that he pleased God. We've got to come to our lives and say, are we pleasing to the Lord? 300 years in it walking with God, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's what he was doing. Oh, his faith was growing those 300 years, getting closer into the understanding of God, depending on God. It's without faith, it's impossible. impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Some of you need to shout and say, thank you, God, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But the question is, are we getting a little closer to him? Are we seeking God? Do we want to be in his presence? Yes, Enoch, this example, 300 years walking with the Lord, and it said God took him. Genesis 5:25 actually gives us an example and an understanding of what our lives mean when we're walking with the Lord. We're challenged with this. We want to know, God, where did you take him? We just know anywhere God takes us, as long as he's there, it's all right with us. He is translated, actually. That's what that scripture says, when God took him. But notice, he leaves something behind. Genesis 5:25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. 26, after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. Verse 27, so all the days of Methuselah, are you with me, were 969 years and he died. Wow. If you remember at the beginning of the message, I told you to remember this word. This is our final point. Your legacy. Yes, your legacy. Saints of God, we must understand, no matter how long God allows us to live, whether it's 40 years or 65 years or 102, no matter, we have a legacy that's left. And Enoch has a legacy. It's not just about his life. Remember, we started with Jared, his dad. We come to Enoch. He lives 300 years with God, walking with God, 365 years in total. And then God takes him out. Isn't it amazing that 365, as we think about a totality of a year, that whole process, he lives his life walking with the Lord. And now we see that born out of his loins actually comes Methuselah, his legacy. What an impact that Enoch has made on his sons and his daughters, especially here Methuselah, because he lives 969 years. He is the oldest recorded person in the Bible that we see, 969 years. Now we can celebrate that, and that there's blessings in that, but we know that there's struggles. But I can only believe that the reason he was able to hold on those many years, because he remembered his dad walking with God. He remembered his dad being in contact with the very presence of the God. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. I'm telling you, we need to know that God is so faithful. 969 years. Now I had to do a little research here. Our day of Guinness Book of World Records, you hear a lot of that. There are a lot of people doing world records now. There was one person, I said, I want to know what the oldest person that's been recorded in the Guinness Book is. Her name was Jean Calment. Now, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, it's a French name. She was actually born in February 21st, 1875, and died August 4th, 1997. Listen to this. And she was 122 years old. Yes, I get a little closer. 122 years old. Now, we've been blessed to have within our fellowship, Mother Creedy going. She's 102 years old, but compared to 122, she got a long way to go to get that record. 122 years. We see that there's blessing in this, and there's actually a promise that talks about blessings being passed down to generation to generation. Let me show it to you in Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. If I say 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Get a little closer. I'm telling you, some of you are being blessed today, not so much because of yourself, but because you had a praying grandma or a praying granddaddy, or your mom and dad were praying for you. Some of us are reaping benefits of others that walked closer and closer with the Lord and got to know who he was. And they prayed blessing down to generations after generation. And I pray that you're being an example of who God wants you to be. But please understand, we can celebrate Enoch, and we have celebrated Enoch, but I want you to know there's a greater one than Enoch. Yes, you know his name. His name is Jesus. Please understand, Jesus started earlier than Enoch, because at the age of 12, we find him in the temple, and he tells his parents, didn't you know that it was time for me to get about my father's business? I'm so glad for Jesus. Aren't you glad? Get a little closer. closer. But I'm so glad that we even see his life. Jesus goes into full-blown ministry at 30. It took Enoch 65 of that preparation, but Jesus is healing the sick and he's raising the dead, and he even goes to the cross of Calvary at the age of 33. But I'm so glad on that cross of Calvary, he carries our sins and he bears our griefs. What Enoch could not do, Jesus did for us. Enoch lived 365 years, but yet he couldn't take on our pains and our griefs and our sorrows. But aren't you glad for a Savior at 33 years? He's able to take on our issues and our struggles, and he dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb. Please understand, when Enoch died after 365 years, that translation that was taking place with God, please understand, he could not raise himself up. But I'm so glad to tell you that 3 days later, Jesus got up with all power and all glory. He did something that Enoch could not do. And because of that, God is telling us we need to get a little closer. We need to draw closer to him and love on him more. Because I'm telling you, as the days get darker and we hear about more issues that are going on in our world, God is telling us not to walk in fear. We learned that in that distraction and fear series, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants us to draw closer to him, that we can hear his voice, that we can tell a dying generation that Jesus lives. Are there any shouts out there? He's alive and he's a well, and he wants to work in us via the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we need to give God praise in this season and time. We can trust the Lord. From Genesis 5, we see that even through that genealogical line, God was working it out for us for today. Even as we're in 2022 and we're seeing so many crazy things happening, we can trust the Lord. Enoch, great man, but Jesus, so much greater, because he paid the price for us. Can we take the example and get a little closer to God? As Jesus said, everything that you hear me say, I've heard from the Father. Everything that I'm doing, the Father has told me to do. Can we be that? Can we build our lives on that foundation of salvation through Jesus Christ? Scriptures are very clear. We start out with it in our prayer all the time before we go in. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised us from the dead, and it said, raised them from the dead, that we would be saved. That is good news. Jesus died. He got up with all power and all glory that we could call on him. If you have not done that today, I encourage you, I beg you, man, submit yourself to Christ. He is alive and well, and he's coming back. I'm telling you, there will be a change that comes in you, and there will be a desire to be more like him, a desire to get in his word, a desire to pray for the saints who know him. I pray that you're being encouraged not to stop where you are, not to get satisfied, but to want more of him, to yearn more for him, to want intimacy with our Lord and our Savior. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, but let's make God excited about his children walking in his power, walking in his footsteps, walking the way that he would have us to walk in times like these. Let's get a little closer to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this line that you revealed, and you made it so rich, Lord. As we dig in deep, we see, God, even names mean something, Lord. We see that our parents mean something, Lord, and our legacy means so much. Thank you, God, for working it out. I pray, God, even in these tough times, that more souls be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of you. Father, I praise you, and I thank you for your grace that's so, so sufficient. Oh, Lord, thank you. We want a closer walk with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reigned on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Hold me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. When all my friends were gone, you were right there all along. I've never known a love like this before. Oh, I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Hold me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. When all my friends were gone, you were right there all along. I've never known a love like these people. Oh, I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah.
Hello, Ebenezer, family and friends. Thank you so much for being with us during this sacred communion time. Before I even came and we started putting this together, I asked my wife, I was like, we good? She just looks at me. You see that face? She just looks at me. I was like, really, are we good? Yes, we're good today. But thank God. And we laugh, but please, before you take communion today, if there's anything, maybe you have something, some struggles or unresolved discussion / argument with your husband, your wife, your kids, or even a coworker or extended family member, try to work that out before you take communion, because this is very powerful. And we're going to deal with some scriptures today to talk about what this means to take communion. And we want this to be healing to us. We want this to be an encouragement to us as we're in our series, you know, just a closer walk with thee. We want to get closer to the Lord and to understand his will and his way. So before we get started, I'm just going to ask Bianca if she just pray over this communion time. Go ahead and pray over the bread and pray over the juice as we think about our Savior, Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised on the third day with all glory and all power. Lord, we thank you for the gift of communion, which your Son, Jesus, instituted. And he said to do this in remembrance of him, Lord. And today, at this moment, we remember the sacrifice that he gave and the gift of salvation that was wrought through that sacrifice. Lord, we ask that you would bless this juice that represents your blood, and we ask that you would bless the bread that represents your body, that it may bring remembrance of the wonderful thing you've done and be health and healing to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and get your articles, and you might want to go ahead and prepare it and make sure everything's in place for our communion time. I want to go to a scripture I often quote. Today we're just going to read through it. I'm having Bianca read through it, and I'll stop her at some points just to talk about some specific things that the Lord's ministered to my heart, and I pray that he's ministering to your hearts from 1 Corinthians 11, starting around that 23rd verse. So if you have your Bibles close or your devices, you may want to put them on do not disturb so they don't disturb you while you're going into communion. But we just want to read and meditate. So Bianca, if you start at 1 Corinthians 11, 23.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
The 27th verse is very powerful. We don't want to take this in an unworthy manner. That's why we have to make sure that our conscience is free, that the Holy Spirit is not bringing up something that we need to take care of. And you can pause this and you can call somebody, you can send them a text, you can say, you know, I'm sorry. Maybe that doesn't fix the issue, but at least you can resolve it within your heart. I really want you to stay focused, because we don't want to take this as an unworthy manner. Go ahead, Bianca.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Amen. Notice that it said, when it's taken unworthy, and we don't examine ourselves, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Yes, it can bring sickness, disease, even death, because we're taking for granted what God has done for us. So simply, Paul the Apostle gets that revelation that we really need to make sure that we are connected with the Lord and also connected with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank God for this scripture that really gets our heart to that point. We're going, okay, Lord, thank you for Jesus. You just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank him for saving you, for salvation, for deliverance. As Jesus went into that upper room, and we're getting ready to the resurrection time and going to the celebratory time, Lent season, we just need to think about Christ. He goes and he gets that bread, and at that time it would be shared amongst them as well as the Jews, and he breaks it. He said, this represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. He gets the goblet of wine that would be passed around, and it significant, the color of it. He said, this represents my blood. It's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. Song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I just want you to praise God for all that he's done. And as we go forth, as we get closer to the Lord, I'm telling you, God wants to use us in amazing ways that more souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. Again, fall in love with Jesus. Until we meet again, you be blessed.